Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur, Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopal, Gopinath, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Srimati Tosi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Samam Bonam, Chapter 66. We're starting a new chapter. Pundraka, the false Vasudeva. We're going to read text one, and then there's no purport. Well, actually, there's a little purport. And the chapter summary. And of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam is our very means of conquest. This is Nitya Bhagavata Seva. This is our intelligence. This is our vision. This is our opportunity, Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important hour of the day. You see how we shouldn't let anything else interrupt us from doing this. Sometimes something else comes up and I figure, what can I give up so I can fit this into my day? And then say, well, I won't go to Bhagavatam class. That way I'll fit it in my day. So, and then the next day, something else comes up. Well, okay, then I don't have to come to Bhagavatam for that either then. In this way, one loses his opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so text one.
So this is verse number one, chapter 66, canto. Word meaning, Sri Shuka Ubacha, Shukadeva Goswami said, Nanda of Nanda Maharaj, Vrajam, to the cowherd village, Gate, having gone, Rame, Lord Balaram, Karusha Adipati, the ruler of Karusha, Poundraka, Nipa, O King, Parikshit, Vasudeva, the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, Aham, I, Iti, thus thinking, Agya, foolish, Dutam, a messenger, Krishnaya, to Lord Krishna, Prahinot, sent. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Nanda Vrajam Gate Rame Kurushadi Patir Nripa Vasudeho Vasudevo Hamityagyo Dutam Krishnaya Prahino Sri Shuka Uvacha Nanda Vrajam Gate Rame Parushadi Patir Nripa Vasudevo Hamityagnyo Dutam Krishnaya Prahino Sri Shuka Uvacha Nanda Vrajam Gate Rame Karushadi Patir Nripa Vasudevo Hamityagnyo Dutam Krishnaya Prahino.
Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, while Lord Brahma Balaram was away visiting Nanda's village of Braj, the village of Braj, the ruler of Karusa, foolishly thinking, I am the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, sent a messenger to Lord Krishna. Purport. Since Lord Ram had gone to Nanda Braj, Pundraka foolishly thought that Lord Krishna would be alone and therefore easy to challenge. Thus he dared to send this crazy message to the Lord. So today we also read the chapter summary. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna went to Kasi, the present day of Varnaris, and killed Pundraka and Kasiraj, and how the Lord Sudarshan Disk defeated a demon, incinerated the city of Kasi, and killed Sudakasina. While Lord Balaram was visiting Braj, King Pundraka of encouraged by fools, announced that he was the real Vasudeva. Thus he challenged Lord Krishna with the following message. Since I alone am the true personality of Godhead, you should give up your false claim to this position as well as my divine symbols and take shelter of me. If you do not, then prepare for battle. When Ugrasena and the members of his royal assembly heard Pundraka's foolish boast, they all laughed heartily. Sri Krishna then told Pundraka's messenger to convey a message to his master. O fool, I will force you to give up the so-called Sudarshan disk and the other divine symbols of mine you have dared to assume. And when you lie down on the battlefield, you'll become the shelter of dogs. You would always think that he said, well, here, if you want my chakra, here, catch. Lord Krishna then went to Kasi. Pundraka, seeing the Lord preparing for battle, quickly came out of his city to confront him with his army. His friend, Kashiraj, followed him, leading the rear guard, just as fire of the universal devastation destroys every living being in all directions. So Lord Krishna annihilated the armies of Pundraka and Kasiraj. Then after chastising Pundraka, the Lord beheaded both him and Kasiraj, which is Sudarsan's disc. Thereafter he returned to Dwarka, because Pundraka had constantly meditated on the Supreme Lord. Even dressing like him, he gained liberation. It's a nice point to notice that he actually was liberated from this. When Krishna beheaded Kashiraj, the king's head flew into his city, and when the queens, his queens, sons, and other relatives saw it, they began to lament. At that time, the son of Kasiraj, named Sundarsena, wanting to avenge his father's death, began worshiping Lord Shiva with the intention of destroying his father's killer. Gratified by Sundarsena's worship, Lord Shiva offered him a choice of benedictions, and Sundarsena asked for a means to kill one who has slain his father. Lord Shiva advised him to worship the Vaksina Agni fire with black magic rituals, and Sundarsena did, and the result was that a fearsome demon with a body of flames appeared from the pit of the sacrificial fire. The demon rose up carrying a fiery trident and at once set off for Dwarka. The residents of Lord Krishna's capital city became terrified as the demon approached the city, but Lord Krishna assured them of protection and dispatched the Sudarsan Chakra to oppose the magic creation of Lord Shiva. The Sudarsan overpowered the demon, who then returned to Varnari's and burned Shuddha Sakshin to ashes together with his priests. The Sudarsan disc, following the demon, entered Varanasi and burned the entire city to the ground. Then the Lord's disc returned to the site in Dwarka. Om Akyana Timinandasya Jana Jana Salakalya Chaksumali Tanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Su Uto Pangor Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarva Swapatam Bojo Radha Madana Mohato. So, starting a new chapter, this Pundraka, we kind of make him out a little bit almost like a cartoon character, but he was actually this isn't the first time that he's appeared in the Bhagavatam. Earlier he also was there at the kidnapping of Rukmini with Shishupal, and he brought two Akshahinis, divisions of soldiers there, so evidently he can recruit quite a large army, and that was taken care of back then. And then we hear about in today's summary that his army was also completely annihilated. So you sometimes wonder, did he have his extra two arms when he was there at Rukmini's? There isn't any mention, so we figured he didn't have them at that time. And it was just the opportunity here, so he did that. And of course, as devotees, we sometimes wonder, how did he manufacture these, you know, as the kind of like the comical aspect of for a devotee. But this mentality that he was demonstrating, it's actually imposed by the modes of nature. Every living entity is born. We're eternal spirit soul. We're the consciousness, the soul that's within these bodies. And for the most part, the idea of a demon, it's like the other guys, the other group. But in reality, Krishna gives a whole chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, called the Divine and Demoniac Natures, just so we could see it. And if we think about it for a moment, we can see that the nature, how it increases. Like it's mentioned that when one comes into the material world, his first birth is as Lord Brahma, and he can go all the way down through the 8,400,000 species of life, or he can go back. So even with, it says, any one of the senses that the mind focuses on can carry away a man's intelligence, even of discrimination. So this is a very subtle point, and it's easy for us to look at the other person and say, oh, they're demons. But it's just a seed element, and we can find different evidences of it, which will assist us in our humility and our dependence on the sadhana that Prabhupada gave us. So for myself, the only difference between me being a demon and being a devotee is Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namaha. That's it. If I didn't say those words, then how does the mind that comes with this body act? As soon as you see something, you think about it, and then the next thing is you want to have it. Contemplating the objects of senses, one develops attachment. So the attachment is I and mine. So this I and mine, this is the root of this demoniac consciousness, isn't it? So much is, what's the rest of that one? Oh, so much is mine today. And what am I going to do today for tomorrow? I'll make more of it. So does that sound vaguely familiar to anyone? You know that this is what material life is about. So everybody thinks like that. So we don't say everybody's a demon. Well, sometimes it just depends if it would be palatable or not. But everybody, when you look at something in the world, you look through the senses. The senses see sense objects, because Sankhya philosophy, there's five senses, five sense objects. So this is the world that we live in, is the empirical perspective. So we see these things, and as soon as you see it, the default setting, what we're born with, is the ignorance of identifying with this body, the one that we're in right now, whatever one we're in, that's the one we are. And because Anandamaya Vyasat, we're chip off the old block, we're part and parcel of Krishna, we naturally want to enjoy. And in ignorance, your enjoyment is the senses and your body. Basically, senses means body and your mind. So this is the cycle of samsara. And if that's as far as you get, then you're on your way to another body. But by somehow or other, if we get some good fortune, Brahmandabhumite konam bhagyavanaji, so that's good fortune, then one gets, by the mercy of Krishna, he gets a spiritual master who gives him the seed of divine consciousness. And if you offer obeisances, then gradually, by following those directions, the disease is destroyed at its root. So I'm going to read a little bit from chapter 16, because so often, right now, we're in, for the most part, It's called the Anartha Nivritti stage. There's Adoshvara, a little bit of faith that this sounds like something worth checking out. Associating with devotees, yes, I should definitely do this. Eternal, blissful life of perfect knowledge. The loving exchange that I'm always hankering for is available in this human form of life. So we take initiation, we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and our nature starts to change. But it doesn't give up without a fight. Yesterday I was listening to a nice class from a devotee from Russia, and he was saying when a devotee asked him, how's it going over there? And he says, well, you know, it's difficult. They had that ruling that they were banning the Bhagavad Gita. So when the devotees asked, well, which Bhagavad Gita what were they inspecting to ban? And he said, it was Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. So devotees were thinking, oh, that's good. At least they were reading the Bhagavad Gita. So he said, well, what was some of the results? And he pointed out that he knows of two of the people that were assigned to that project that were the KBG, which is their pretty elite group over there, that became devotees, full-time devotees, by reading it under the direction of the KGB to find what was wrong with it. So that's funny. So he said, but the KGB isn't someone that's easy to quit. You know, once you're working for like the CIA, KGB, and a government position, mafia, you can't just say, well, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go back and just be a farmer or something. No, they don't let you quit. It's a very difficult place to quit. Also, some medicine is like that. You can take the medicine, but if you want to stop, you can't stop because there's a element. Or drugs. Heroin is the one that back in the old days used to be popular. They say the first one's free, you know, so because once you become addicted to it, you don't really enjoy it anymore, but you're forced to do it or you suffer horrible, horrible conditions. You can't do anything except suffer. So Maya, she's not much different than that. She says, if you do this, you'll enjoy happiness in the mode of passion. Sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. Starts off, the first one's free, the honeymoon. You know, it'll be wonderful. You'll have so much fun together. And then it wears off at a certain point in time. And happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning. And then what's it turn into? Poison. So it's a similar concept. We have to connect these different concepts together of how this material energy is an intoxicant, not just that it makes you think you're happy, is that you end up when what its real nature is revealed is that you're suffering and you can't give it up. It's very hard to give up Maya. So, and when you become a devotee, we're at the stage now where this is happening to us. Like it mentions in the Anartha Nivritti stage, one becomes free from these unwanted things. So for the most part, this is a big hurdle in devotional service. And this it mentions that there's four roots to these anarthas. The first two are basically what I see as the main roots. The other two are how you're dealing with them, effectively or ineffectively. So what are the first two roots? Are your past, okay, and then that's divided into two categories of about your past. Do you know what the two categories of your past are? Oh, you do. You know. What is it? So they divide it into two groups, your past sinful activities and your past pious activities. And that translates into your past happiness that's coming to you. You won't be able to avoid this happiness that's coming to you. Generally, we don't try. And then there's your past sinful reactions, which are your suffering that's coming to you. And you also can't avoid that. It's coming. So, now that you're the anartha nivritti stage, you're understanding, I'm not this body. Krishna says you can't, the soul's amazing. Some speak of the soul's amazing, some can't understand it at all, but we're eternal. We, 100 years ago, we were in a different body. 100 years from now, we'll be in another body, maybe, or spiritually realize. But when we're in this body, we identify with it. So the spiritual master gives us a sadhana, which is like a reset button. It's every day when you wake up, you make it to the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and you're still convinced you're the body. Unless, of course, what we were trained in the old days is the first thing you would do when you woke up is you'd get yourself into a position and you would go, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna. You would immediately reset that I'm not this body, I'm eternal spirit soul, I'm taking directions from my spiritual masters. But as time goes by, little things can get forgotten. And then the Niyamagraha can slowly start to set in. So it's a razor's edge, spiritual life. It's a razor's edge. And by looking around, we can see that as the time is going on, that it's a not a massacre, but there's a lot of blood being shed from inattentiveness. So to be attentive, there's different ingenuity you have to. Out of your sincerity and desperation and intelligence, you make yourself different reminders of how to take advantage of this situation. Eternal blissful life of perfect knowledge, or falling back into the bodily conception of life and just being harassed and beat up every day by the material energy. So we have to come to the mode of goodness and have as our routine, come to Mangal Arati, Tulsi worship, being conscious of the Tulsi prayer. I bow before you again and again, my desire. So we have this, the prayer to the spiritual master. My only desire is that my conscience is purified by the words. So this isn't an external thing. This has to be connected up all the way to our heart. Otherwise, the things that are in our heart will come back out again, and we'll lose this golden Gauravani opportunity. So here's what Arjuna was also questioning to Krishna, and this is some of the things that Krishna said. He said, the Supreme Person of God had said, fearlessness. Okay, so we have to see, is there anything that's fearful for us? Purification of one's existence. Okay. Cultivation of spiritual knowledge, what we're doing right now. Charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bara, belong to godly men endowed with the divine nature. So when I look at that list, not a lot of those pop out to me. Except, of course, after we say Nama Om Vishnu. We're being trained. This is our training. These qualities will be developing in us if one says Nama Om. As long as he keeps saying that many, many times during the day. In fact, just like the Bhagavad Gita, as soon as Krishna explains that you're not this body, he says one has to learn how to tolerate the duality of this world, which is the happiness and distress, which is the past pious activities of past impious activities. And if you do that, tate nu kam pam, then what becomes your dayabak, muktipa? He says that liberation becomes your rightful inheritance if you keep regard, even though there's some these different anarthas from your past sins and past pious activities are happening. What do you do the whole time? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. You keep offering your obeisances. And then you can clear the anartha stage, because there's two more roots. The other one is the weeds that grow along with the watering process. In other words, we know how to assimilate everything that happens in our life some way or other and make some happiness out of it. So when we're doing devotional service, we're thinking, okay, I'm actually, sometimes if you do devotional service nicely, you'll get a position, someone will honor you, you'll get some different credit, and you start to think, this is nice, and it actually distracts you from trying to just to please the spiritual master into thinking that that is your actual creeper. So that's a weed that comes along. And the weeds, it's something like the forbidden fruit. Forbidden fruit doesn't long endure. So the fruit may taste sweet in the beginning, but it turns to poison. So that same idea, one grows this weed, and it doesn't happen until you're devoting, because the watering is hearing and chanting. So of course, we don't have to, I've noticed when it stopped raining for the last week, my weeds aren't growing as much. So if you don't hear, it's a fact that your weeds won't grow as much as if you are hearing. But if you hear, that's another problem, that you have to hear properly. So as you hear properly, properly means you do it. If it's explained that you're different from your body and different from your mind, then you do it. Okay, when the mind comes up with its propaganda, because it's not so easy to give up Maya's service, she comes into the mind and gives you a reinsurance that we're like old friends, we're your family, we're your fallible soldiers, we're your very self. You should listen to the mind. So at that point, you have to know how to take shelter back to Krishna consciousness by chanting the holy name, giving up the 10 offenses. You will notice that every time that the mind speaks like that, comes in as your friend, we're all, you're not really distinguishing it. You think it's yourself. You're talking with it like, oh, that's me. So at that stage, if you don't offer your obeisances to your spiritual master, your mind will still guide you and you'll make more wrong choices. And if you make those wrong choices, then the weed of that anartha changes. It becomes from an acute problem to a chronic problem, and then it's called an aparad, which will take you out of the association of devotees. It'll ruin everything that you've done. Like the elephant that tramples all the nice plants in your garden. We're growing a little garden. It's so hard. You got to water it properly. You got to get so many different things going. And we see a rabbit. We got a rabbit in our yard. He's usually on the other side of the yard, the rabbit. But we noticed he came and he was sitting right in front of the garden. There's not much going on right now. He's just waiting when things are going to grow. But he sits there sometimes for an hour. We look out the window and see the rabbit sitting in next to the garden just looking at it. So we know what he's there for. He's thinking, when's my dinner going to be ready? He's waiting. So we have to also see that at any time we're inattentive, she's ready to give us these good instructions. So wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering, unsteady nature, one has to bring it back under the control of the self. And the self is our eternal nature of service. So we serve Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna. At that time, we have to chant in a prayerful mood. Krishna, your Maya is so attractive to me. I've been conditioned for so long. I identify with this mind and body so easily. Please give me shelter. And we chant again, and in that mood, one can start to clear those 10 offenses. Otherwise, they can come in as weeds and turn into offenses. So let's just hear a little bit about those other qualities. Since we read these divine qualities, and I can't particularly identify with many of them. In fact, it's only through Prabhupada, offering obeisances to Prabhupada, that any of them have any chance to manifest in me. And they're coming from him. So here's the other group. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, ignorance. These qualities belong to the demoniac nature. Anybody ever say anything to you and you snap back at them? That's not hard to do, is it? Which list is that from? Is that the tolerant and all these other ones? Or is that the pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance? That's not so far away. All right. So it says the transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas demoniac qualities make for bondage. So, of course, he's telling Arjuna, do not worry, O son of Pandu. You're born of divine qualities. Well, which ones are we born of? Can we say not to worry? No, we should be very worried. Those aren't the qualities I was born with. Those are the qualities I only stay connected through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the desire to please him and serve him. Nama Om. Of course, you can also go into Ma, Nama, in the Purana. What's the one that begins with a P? In one of the Puranas, it mentions that Nama means na, na. The na part means not, and ma means me, not me. So when you are practicing self-realization, this transcendental science of Krishna consciousness, chanting the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna, directly associating with the Supreme Lord, we're saying we're not this Maya. We have to recognize how this Maya works, and we have to not be attracted to staying intoxicated by her influence. And she doesn't give up easy. So your determination is very important to get through this Anartha Nivritti stage. You have to have the determination. And, these are all the divine qualities again. So just by accepting shelter by Prabhupada, you get all those divine qualities will start manifesting, so you'll have that determination just by Nama Om. So of course, you can also, since we did Nama, you could also do Om. What does that mean? Since you're offering obeisances, not me, Nama Om. So we could just go into the practical definition of that is, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, there's two natures. There's the material nature and the spiritual nature, the internal potency and the external potency. And then he explains, but you're part of the internal potency, but you're the part of the internal potency that's called marginal. And there's the crux of the matter. The marginal means you can go either way. You can get covered by the external energy, or you can be serving the internal potency. So that's the whole show in a nutshell. And if you don't have a spiritual master and you don't chant Nama Om, take a guess which nature is going to cover you. That's where we've been for millions and millions and millions. Practically speaking, since time immemorial. We're offered this one short lifetime in the human form of life. We've come in contact with the spiritual master. And by accepting him, we're acknowledging these two potencies and my choice. So because there's three in that group, there's the external energy, the internal energy potency, and there's my choice, the marginal potency. So because there's those three, we're going to use that as the light of Om to see what's it's all pervading. Krishna's choice for you is all pervading. What are you going to do with what you see, what you smell, what you feel with your senses? What are you going to do with this? So therefore, it's Nama Om. Everything. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Where is this Krishna? Vasudeva. He's everywhere. Your choice is everywhere, at every moment, at every second, to Vasudeva, well, Kirtanya Sada Hari. At every moment, this is your choice. And if you don't have the humility, if you don't have the tolerance, which is the 2.14 and 2.15 Bhagavad Gita, that 2.15 says, if you, 14 says, Marta Sparsis, you have to learn to tolerate. Then we went to 10.14a, Tatenu Kam. So the way that you tolerate the duality of this world is by offering obeisances. And in those obeisances, you understand, I'm the marginal potency. The external potency is based on me desiring to be Pundraka. Pundraka, he made it very far. He not only was convinced himself, but he had so many other people convinced, and they helped convince him. It's called bad association. The bad association means it's the platform of Maya. Do we ever have any bad association? How about what the mind speaks to us? Is that asat or sat? Does that come across with the material propaganda? You're the body, you're this mind, you're the enjoyer of this world. It comes across the whole thing. So the mind is actually not good association. So sometimes we hear the different songs where it says, oh mind, you're no Vaishnav, right? You've heard that one? We don't have many people here today, but usually somebody can sing it. Anybody know the song? Anyway, you're no Vaishnava. So this mind, how does one get delivered from the mind? How do you say deliver in Sanskrit? How about tra? And how do you say mind in Sanskrit? Ma. So how about tra ma? Oh, how about the other way around? Mantra. Mantra. So, okay. Now, these things are right in front of us. Mantra. So what's the greatest mantra? The Maha mantra. So if we learn how to avoid the offenses, and when we were all initiated, practically speaking, every initiation into when you got your name, the spiritual master or his representative gave a talk on the 10 offenses. You're initiated into this chanting of this mantra, Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. It's coming down from the spiritual world. It has to be received properly. It has to be chanted properly to associate. And when one does that, he sees those three things. He sees the external energy, sees the internal energy. Just like we know for second-class devotee, there's four things. You know the four things? You always know those four things. Okay. You love Krishna. Okay. You make friends with the devotees. Preach to the innocent. And then you avoid, who do you avoid? What? Envious, the non-devotees. So, now if you were going to objectively look at what your mind says to you, what category would that one be under? Generally, the mind is your friend when Krishna's there. And when Krishna's not in your mind, it defaults back to ignorance. That's just where it goes. So the yoga system, connecting to the divine nature, means you have to work with that. You have to recognize 3.26.14 explains Lord Kapila Dev. He's talking. He says, so you can recognize who's who, who's there. Someone, you know, the next thing you say is, who's there? Of course, the mind just opens the door and walks in. It owns the place. You know, it doesn't say anything. It doesn't announce itself. But if you look at it, you can see, what is it saying? And then, what's Lord Chaitanya say? Asat sangha tyag. Well, what should you do? E vaishna charan. He says, associate with the devotees. Shravanam kirtanam. Hearing. What was that we said earlier? Chanadi. Kirtanya, sada. It has to be kirtan, which means the glorification. How much Krishna is being properly seen. It's not a separate vision to see Krishna and to see the glory of Krishna. That he's situated in glory. Sometimes I like meters. I used to think in meters, continuums. So how much glorification of Krishna is present is how much truth is present. People can say Krishna without glorifying him, but how much truth is in that? The glorification and the truth are there the same. So if you listen to the mind, which is based on the asana, which is based on the whole package deal, then following such conclusions, you become lost. So where else does Krishna say lost? Who knows another verse where Krishna says, 18th chapter, 58. If you become conscious of me, what are the three things in Om? The internal potency, external potency, and your choice. Nama, Om. Okay, you're aware of your choice. So he says, if you become conscious of me, 1858, you'll be able to cross over all the difficulties of conditioned life by my grace, by divine grace, by your engagement with Prabhupada. So that's how you tolerate from 2:14 and 2:15. You do your duty. You come out of the mode of passion. You come into the mode of goodness. Things are clear. He says, but if you don't do that, if you don't hear sufficiently, properly, like places back, we should recognize that we're becoming lost. He says, and you become conscious of me, you cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you don't work in this consciousness, but act through the false ego, not hearing me, then you'll be lost. So the same point is made by the four Kumaras, 4:22-31. It says, 4:30-21. When one deviates from his original consciousness, which is the internal potency, he loses the capacity to recognize his present situation or remember his past situation. All knowledge that is gained at that time is false. When this occurs, the learned sages say that the soul is lost. So it starts with just the verse before, 4:22-30, which is, if you think about sense gratification, it will absorb your consciousness, just like if you have a lake, nice lake. We have different ponds around. You see that around the ponds, these different grasses grow, reeds or shoots, different types of tall grasses grow around the pond because there's such an ample supply of water, nice weed that's growing by the watering process. And it gradually takes all the water out of the pond. So that's how that happens. And one last verse would be, they put the clock back up, but it doesn't have the right time on it. I was just looking, a blur from this. It's 20:40. Yeah, that doesn't look right. Okay, at least see if you. Okay, well, sorry. There's in King Puccini Barisat, which is the 4:26-14, it says that after one becomes refreshed in Krishna consciousness, he becomes refreshed, just like the four kinds. One of the four kinds is the distressed. So you come to Krishna consciousness, the distress is eliminated. But unless he becomes wise by what we're explaining in class every day, then after becoming refreshed, he consults with his mind. Imagine taking counsel from your mind and decides whether he should go on in Krishna consciousness and return to material life. So as the anarthas start to go away, they don't give up without a fight. They're going to present through the mind whether you should continue on or go back to the way you were. And what's our rebuttal for that? What should one do? What are the two words that I've said over and over again in today's class? Hey, there you go. Thank you. Nama Om. That's our choice. That's our hope. That's our qualities. If we don't do that, what's it, a snowball's chance in, I'm not allowed to say that word here. Okay. It's like a snowball's chance in a very hot place. Not very good. All right. So, we have any questions, comments, or anything like that? Who's going to be? Oh, we got a runner. Thank you. Now you have to wait a while. Everybody limps.
You spoke about getting up in the morning. Way back about 40 years ago, we were taught one way in Denver, which I still usually do. First of all, we had a very long verse that had everything in it. I still chant that one.
Could you repeat it once for us?
It's long, but I don't even know what it means, but Jayate, Jananavaso, Debihi, Janmavado, Janabara, Parasit, Swadavir, Tirashara, Vrishnagnam, Sushita, Shundata, Shimakena, Rajapuram, Bandatam, Adiyan, Kamadavam.
Thank you.
I don't know what it means, but it had everything in it. And then, but then we were taught that it would be very bad if the first thing you did in the morning was you saw your stuff or your family, your wife, or even your face in the mirror. So everyone had to jump up really quick in the dark, and either in the dark or on his eyes. First head for a picture of Prabhupada or Chaitanya or Krishna, or another good thing was to open the door and see the temple, or look over the service you're going to do, such as Palapati or something, and then head for the shower.
Well, you know how well that's worked. Here you are sitting 40-some years later in Bhagavatam class. So whether you fully know the meaning or you don't, you said it with faith, and it has its result. Because as we're noticing how slow the microphone moves from one person to the other, where is the youth? We were all in our 20s. Right now, everybody is someplace, and everybody is doing something. And they're doing something because there's conviction and faith in what they're doing. So, anyway. Yes. Over on the ladies' side. Thank you. Nice attentive audience today.
Thank you very much. Your classes are always very nice. I just have one protest, though. And that is, you know, when you say, you know, why is not everybody here? Why aren't all the people here? And, you know, the youth is out there because they have faith in what they're doing. But maybe it's also because they have families and kids to raise. And, you know, now you're retired, your children are grown up. You don't have to be at a job. So, you know, I find many times that, you know, even though you desire to be at a temple, you desire to get up from Mangal Arati, but you just can't because, you know, you have a kid or, you don't know, maybe your health is not good. So sometimes it's a desire, you know, and what you're thinking of. If you're desiring, you know, to be at the temple, Krishna counts that as the same.
Well, that's you wonderful. Know? Yeah. Thank you very much.
You know, just these things, you know, that like sometimes people go and they work a job, but they're thinking, you know, I wish I could chant my rounds.
Yeah.
I have so many friends who say that, you know, I just hanker for the time when I can sit and chant my rounds with focus, but they just can't do it because of circumstances. But, you know, if they keep cultivating desire, one day, you know, when the kids are grown up and they don't have the duties, they'll have the opportunity and they'll have the full attention. So,
I agree with you 100%. That's wonderful. Could I also say the other side? You know, because there's four defects. You know, the four defects conditioned souls have. The senses are imperfect. We make mistakes. We're an illusion. And you know the last one? The cheating propensity. So what you say is 100% true. And as the time goes by, sometimes I'm a little fanatical, so I try to moderate it. Like, for instance, in math, I always like math. That's why I have the numbers all the time. So I made an equation. Is doing something equal sign the same as not doing it if you have a good excuse? Are they equal? What do you think is a math problem? You always have an equal sign. Doing something equal to not doing it if I have a good excuse. I'll come up with a practical example. I missed lunch because I was very busy. So I wasn't hungry anymore. Well, in that situation, it didn't work because you're still hungry. So if you're saying is actually the fact that every day they're doing that, then Krishna assists in so many different ways. But if it's just, let's say, an excuse for different reasons, actually I could make an adjustment, like on Sunday. I don't work on Sunday, but I'm tired. So maybe tired now will work for the excuse. And then there's Saturday. Well, I've worked all whole week. I need to unwind. So maybe Saturday, or there's a special program because it's Memorial Day. So it's closed on Monday where I have to work. So I could come on Monday at least because it's closed. So we'll see. Monday's coming up next week, I guess, or the week after that. There'll be a Monday where things will be closed. So we can see that, and not that we see it, it's that Krishna sees it. So yes, that's a fact, if those reasons are there. But we also notice it still has an effect. Like when you miss lunch, you still feel weak. You know, that's what happens to me. If I don't eat, I can forget about eating, but I don't forget about getting tired and grumpy and a little irritable when I don't eat. So those things still seem to work. So there is problems with that. And then, you know, in a broader sense, we would think how nice it'll be when ISKCON expands its hiring capacity to be able to have everyone, as they finish their education systems, can get a position where they can make their ends meet comfortably within ISKCON, which could be arranged around a temple schedule, like it was when I joined. I had to work, and I worked at Spiritual Sky Incense, and which was a nice company back in the 70s. So we went to the morning program, then we went out to that, and on Saturdays it was closed, so we went on Harinam all day, and it could be adjusted. So hopefully I'm always anticipating that when ISKCON recognizes the necessity of protecting through engagement all of the praja, the different personalities from the, they used to say cradle to the grave, now we'll say, I guess, samskara to samadhi. All the different stages of life a devotee goes through will have the opportunity to stay properly engaged, because this engagement is our protection. Otherwise, Maya Prabhupada would give the example of one stick. You take a one stick, it's very easy to break a stick, but then he took a whole bunch of them, like a stack of incense that you get all wrapped in a stick. You can't break that. So the foremost principle of advancement in Krishna consciousness is association in the nectar of instruction. It's the only one that's mentioned two times, asatsanga, to give up the association of non-devotees. It's easier to live in a cage of fire than associate with non-devotees. It's so much against the grain, unless, of course, you can preach or there's different things. But as you're saying, sometimes it's very difficult. It's a great austerity to have to do that. And then what our necessities are is a sliding scale. Some people can exist on very little, and they've made that choice. Like Chanaka Pandit, he's the prime minister, a great personality that Prabhupada quotes all the time. He didn't even take a salary. He said because taking that salary from a person he's supposed to give advice to, the king, would compromise his truthfulness. Because if you there's a certain etiquette of even with Grandfather Bhishma during the disrobing of Draupadi, he's a Mahajan. How come he did? He's strong, powerful. He could have came and wiped the whole thing out. But when you take employment, you have obligations. So now you're becoming obligated. And we can see even from Grandfather Bhishma, he fought against Krishna, his worshipful deity, with Diodana. So there's a lot of considerations. And even though what you say is perfect, I agree with everything you say, there's a lot more that can be delved into it, not to let it go easily on one side or the other. But I thank you very much for bringing it up, because sometimes I glance over that and I don't give the proper... Yes, it is a fact. In fact, I hear sometimes also that it's only for the couple that, you know, that if you look around, it's only the ones that have this job or that job that can come. But then there's the old saying, where there's a will. I mean, our morning program is at 4:30. Not many people are working at 4:30. We do have some newspaper delivery people that say, I have to work at 4:30. But most people aren't working at 4:30. They probably don't start till 6:30 or 7. And as you're saying, the will and the way, I think those are the ones. But you know, it's very touchy. These kind of things, you can get really touchy with people. You got to have them feel that you're their well-wisher. Otherwise, if they don't feel that, they're going to blast you.
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, to me it seems like, you know, there's a lot of gray areas. It's not all black and white. Like, you know, you say association of devotees. You can have association of Srila Prabhupada by reading his books. I mean, you listen to classes on the internet, you know, people who are married, husband and wife, this is association. And on the other side, I mean, I don't mean to criticize, but, you know, you can come to the temple and get engaged in prajalpa with another devotee. It's not like that early. You know, you come and it's 100%, you know, devotee association. Sometimes that it's sadhu association.
Catch up on all the latest gossip.
So, yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, to me it seems like it's a balance. If you want to be Krishna conscious, you want to take association. You can take association, you can go meet a devotee at their house. It doesn't mean because somebody is not at the temple that, you know, they engage in Maya. I mean, you can be Krishna conscious in your own home. The Prabhupada said, you know, make your home into the temple, you know, preach to people, make them into devotees, and you'll have association. So it's not like, you know, that's what I just feel.
That's perfect.
It's
ahoy chukya patiyata. It says it's unmotivated and it cannot be interrupted. So the 10:10 verse, you sound like you're paraphrasing Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, Tesam, that for those who are constantly devoted and worship me, I give them the intelligence how to see it, because it cannot be interrupted. So generally that's wonderful. However, at the same time, we're not very strong. A strong person can stay strong wherever he is. It's an immune system thing. Just like sometimes you wonder, well, how come doctors aren't sick all the time? You know, they're always dealing with sick people. Maybe some of them are. It's because of the immune system. Sometimes one person sneezes, one person gets sick and someone else doesn't. So if your spiritual immune system is strong, there isn't any material difficulty. But for the most part of us, we're weak. And Prabhupada set it up because he knows that this would be the optimum situation. But as you're saying 100% accurately and very nice, I'm always glad to round that out. If one is genuine and sincere, but I know for myself, I try to do as much as I can and I still struggle like anything. This mind, I don't know if you got one like mine, but they're really rough. Anytime you just sit down for a minute, it'll jump on you and it says, what about some sense gratification? So every day, I knew this one devotee. Actually, back in this community, we had Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means you're remembering your servant of Krishna, and Abhideya means you're acting in that capacity. So she changed it from Abhideya to Everydaya, which I thought was a nice way to remember it. So we hear this. This is called the classroom. As soon as we walk out the door, that's the lab. Let's see if you can apply what you learn in class today when you walk out the door about talent, about the divine qualities, the mind qualities. And then when you can see, okay, how's your lab? They used to call it, I was in school sometimes, and they would call it the smoke test. Is because you learned how to wire something, like an air conditioner. You had, they gave you one in the classroom. They drew on the board, this wire goes to the contact, this wire goes, and they'd wire the whole thing up. And then they'd say, okay, now you go to the shop And they give you a unit with no wires on it and a box of wires. And they say, put it together. And then when they have this switch, they pull the switch, little drum roll, quiet, and they pull the switch and they call it the smoke test. You know why they call it the smoke test? If you didn't wire just right, it blows up. The smoke test. So you go and you see if what you do, you can do it. Because I remember math especially, it was so easy when the teacher did it. He just made this big long thing on the chalkboard. Back in the days they used chalk. And then they said, okay, now you do it on your paper. And you try to do the same thing on your paper. I could never get the right answers. And you look back up against, oh, there's a little thing. You had to do this step before that step. And then you could get it right. But you always think that you have it a lot easier than when you apply it. Then you see, oh, that's what the mind is. Oh, that's what it's saying. And that's a very crucial point in our life when we actually say, oh, that's what they were talking about. This is sense gratification. This is I'm the enjoyer. This is my karma, past karma, good karma, bad karma. This is trying to enjoy the material world. And then you can see, oh, that's hard. That's really hard. And that's the switch between eternal life and dying and taking another body again. And to me, I'm still like, wow, that's really hard to do. So this is the easy part of the day, the classroom. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.